In April, the state utility regulator announced plans to take a holistic look at what can be done to make a cleaner, more efficient, and resilient electric grid in New York. The initiative looks to build on the steps taken during the last decade as part of the Reforming the Energy Vision, or REV, program that was launched under Governor Cuomo. To discuss the potential of this latest effort, we're joined in the Capitol Press Room by Jessica Waldorf, Chief of Staff and Director of Policy Implementation for the State Department of Public Service. Welcome to the show, Jessica.
Thank you.
Well, before we get to the latest plans from the state's Public Service Commission, I want to look at the legacy of the REV program, which was supposed to create a quote-unquote cleaner, more resilient, and affordable energy system. How successful do you think it was in realizing those goals?
Sure. So I think the Reforming Energy Vision, initiative overall has been very successful. And through that proceeding, which was initiated back in 2015, we advanced a number of innovations to the utility business model and policies to animate what I would call the customer side of the market. A key element of that proceeding is the requirement that utilities transition their systems from a one-way delivery of power to a distributed system platform to basically engage in a two-way system or a platform that the utility can operate and realize some of the benefits of things like demand response or other customer-side distributed energy resources. Since then, utilities have filed what we call Distributed System Implementation Plans, or DSIPs, describing the progress that they've made towards implementing that distributed system platform, starting in 2016 with updates every 2 years in 2018, 20, and most recently over the course of the last year in 2023. And so basically this proceeding builds upon those efforts and really goes kind of the next step in taking advantage of what we've seen in market innovations that were the result of the foundational REV proceeding that the commission instituted.
Well, what would you point to over, say, the last decade that consumers might be aware of in their day-to-day energy lives, so to speak, that have been changes as the result of the initial REV program?
Sure. A couple of things. I would say that net energy metering and advanced rate designs have been one thing that's really come out of the Reforming Energy Vision proceeding. And the other thing that I would say is we've seen big advances in things like small scale energy storage, smart thermostats. And I would say that's probably the most relevant example to, a household or a tenant is the ability to use smart thermostats to basically have some control over your energy usage and directly realize savings as a result.
Well, then moving forward, what do you see as the opportunities to become more greener, resilient, and from the consumer perspective, hopefully more affordable?
Sure. So I would characterize that as, the why now question. And I think we know that the transition to a fully decarbonized energy system is going to require very significant investments in new infrastructure. And so over the last several decades, and more recently, the last several years, the commission has authorized a bunch of different programs like the Clean Energy Standard, New York Sun, the coordinated grid planning process to really think strategically about the best way to build out our electric grid, and proactive planning proceeding for electric vehicle technology on the utility side to basically kind of plan for where do we see those load pockets growing and how do we identify and fund the right grid investments that are necessary to achieve our state goals. In terms of this proceeding is really kind of taking advantage of those other initiatives and realizing that the deployment of flexible resources like virtual power plants can avoid the need to develop some of the infrastructure to support the use of appliances, vehicles, and devices that we know consumers are going to be purchasing over the coming years. And so really, we should think about how do we harness the power of flexible technologies and demand response to better utilize the electric grid we have today and better plan for the build out of the electric grid of the future.
What will the process be of actually going about identifying these opportunities?
Sure. So the first deliverable that the commission directed through this proceeding is a grid flexibility study. That study has to be filed by staff by November 15th of this year, so just a few months away. And the study will examine the current and potential future growth in flexible resources, some of which, I touched on earlier, outlining what their capabilities are, as well as recommendations for how to achieve the optimal levels of growth. And the second deliverable, so basically building upon that study, the second deliverable is the first New York Grid of the Future plan. That's due by the end of this calendar year, so by December 31st, 2024. And it will identify improvements to the distributed system planning process that was initiated through the REV proceeding to support the growth in flexible resources. So basically, the first step is the study, and the second step is how do we take what we learned through that study process and develop the first iteration of the Grid of the Future plan? And then moving beyond that, the third deliverable that was directed by the commission is the second iteration of that plan due December of 2025. And that will contain recommendations for commission considerations across, a wide variety of distribution and bulk system elements, all of which were outlined in the commission proceeding. And so it's an iterative planning process. And all along the way, we'll have technical conferences, opportunities for stakeholders to participate in the same way that we do through every commission proceeding.
Well, before we move on, let me reintroduce you for Capitol Press Room listeners just joining us. We're speaking with Jessica Waldorf, the Chief of Staff and Director of Policy Implementation for the State Department of Public Service. So I'm curious what you think would happen if the state wasn't taking the lead on this. What would the market do if left to its own devices? Would these transitions still occur just at a slower pace? Would they look differently? Why is it important that the regulator get involved in this?
The first is, in terms of what the market is doing today, we have seen some good investments by the private sector, in things like utility-administered programs with distributed energy resource and software vendor partnerships, manufacturer-administered programs, and by that we mean, the actual equipment manufacturer that sells the customer a distributed energy resource. And so we've seen a lot of movement in that part of the market. And then some third-party administered programs where an aggregator, takes the responsibility of mass enrolling customers and then, kind of leverages the use of resources to reduce, customer-side cost and result in customer savings. Now, the reason why I think it's important that the commission, took this step is we want to harness what we've seen as innovations in the private market and have, that initiative and that momentum continue, including through our utilities that, we rate regulate and have, direct responsibility for the management of infrastructure in the state and also, close contact with customers. So we see it as, a great way to kind of harness what are some innovations in the private market and let customers and consumers in the state realize those benefits. If we didn't do the proceeding, I think we are already, in the process of doing things like advanced metering technology, roll out. Most of our downstate utilities have fully deployed AMI technology, and our upstate utilities are deploying smart meters, which are expected to be completed by 2027. So there will still be work that gets done. I think it's a matter of this proceeding is going to pull together all of those pieces and really make sure that customers are benefiting from both private and public sector investments in a way that, they can feel in their wallets and realize some direct savings.
So when you think about what comes next, will you look back at all on the impact of the existing market structures and incentives that have been put in place and whether they have been strong enough or lucrative enough to, I guess, create the price incentives or signals to developers to move the way that you want? I mean, how much of this is looking backwards to craft the plan of the future?
That's a really great question. As a regulator, as a state, we can always continuously learn and improve. And in a lot of ways, that's one of the benefits of how the commission structures its proceedings. Just an example, in the Clean Energy Fund proceeding, which really, kind of follows a series of initiatives over the last, decade plus, on things like energy efficiency and building electrification initiatives. We've evolved with the market over time, and we've done that in a way that sends the right signals to the market to make necessary investments and kind of follow technology adoption and, innovation along the way. And within that proceeding, we have things like interim reviews and, similar process set up within Grid of the Future as well to kind of make sure that our proceedings aren't stagnant, that we learn from, actual deployment and implementation in the market, that we hear from technology, innovators on what's new and what's next. And then we can adapt and modify our programs to make sure that we're not missing anything and that we're leveraging, the most creative opportunities at the right time. And I think in some ways, Grid of the Future will look back on, what's been years of successful innovation, by the state, including the commission, our utilities, state partners like NYSERDA, and kind of leverage that information to what really should be the next steps for the future. But again, nothing should be stagnant. And I think that's one of the benefits that New York has really showed in its leadership in development of clean energy programs.
As you move forward and study the issue and then craft a plan, do you see any challenges in terms of balancing potentially competing goals like being green and being resilient and reliable? Are those goals ever at odds? And if so, as you do this planning, how do you balance them?
I think that question comes to us in every one of the proceedings that we do for clean energy initiatives, right? And so certainly one of the things that we're going to be looking at is what are the costs and benefits of various solutions that get presented in Grid of the Future? And we do that in, all of the commission proceedings to kind of analyze, for what types of savings are we getting for every dollar of investment? And what are the trade-offs with various, technologies or different opportunities to expand into the market? And, I think we do, as a commission, have a lot of different priorities that we have to balance, and, and it's not easy. But I do think that we strike the right balance in each one of the decisions that are rendered by the commission to make sure that we balance our mission of safe, reliable, service and at just and reasonable rates, making sure that we're always cognizant of affordability in every proceeding that we initiate. And, I think that's why over the last several years, we've included things like ratepayer impact analysis and other tools to, provide the right information up to the commission to help support decision making.
Well, we've been speaking with Jessica Waldorf. She's the Chief of Staff and Director of Policy Implementation for the State Department of Public Service. Jessica, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And for more Capital Pressroom content, visit capitalpressroom.org or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And if you listen to us from an Apple device, make sure to leave us a rating and a review so it helps other people find the show.
Support for the Capitol Press Room provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. Visit unionstrongny.org for more information. Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.